What a great scripture, Psalm 40. It kind of sums up the life of David. David really struggled in so many different ways and with so many different things and so many terrible things that would happen to him. His own son rebelling against him, trying to take the throne from him. His son, gathering Absalom, forces to fight against his father to try to take the throne. Just terrible, terrible things. And the Psalms really are a really good insight, kind of opening the door of the heart of David. And knowing that this passage was coming up, again, this is one of those passages, and I say this a lot, but it's true, that we could spend week after week after week talking about just this passage. You could do an entire series on those first 11 verses from chapter 40 of the Psalms. You could spend so much time in there, so much to glean from that scripture. But we're going to focus on one verse in particular as it applies to our Christian experience, and that is verse 8. Just to take a look at that for a moment, if you have your Bible, it says, "I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart." That is a theme that we find throughout the scriptures. That the Lord writes his laws. He invests himself in us. When you go to the bank and you put money in the bank, that's a really bright picture, isn't it, up there? If you really want to see what it looks like, look back there. It looks pretty good back there. But, you put money in the bank. Or you invest in things. Now, what do you invest in? Are there people, a lot of you folks have investments and you put money away for retirement and stuff. And a lot of you are living off of the investments that you made before you retired, correct? But we do that. We put money away. For many, many years as a pastor, I when the kids were growing up, little tiny churches, it was very, very difficult for us to really put any money aside. And so we didn't do that for quite a while. And we bought our first home, and we had to take what we had invested and bought our first home with that. And that can be tough. But when you're investing, it's a very simple truth that whatever you're investing, you want to make sure that where you're putting your money is going to have a return. And you want to make sure that what you're investing in, you believe in. Right? You're not going to frivolously I'll just invest in Joe Schmo's candies. You don't know anything about Joe Schmo. So what do? You investigate. And you say, is Joe Schmo worth my money? Because I want to make sure that there's value there. Folks, it is exactly the same thing when it comes to our Lord. The scripture has said in verse 8 there that in reality what he's really saying is God is investing in you. And why does he invest in you? Because he believes in you. He knows that he's going to get a return from his investment. Always. But he gives of himself completely to us. And it's an important truth for us to understand. And so today we just want to talk about that for a few minutes. First of all, we recognize something from Scripture, that God writes his word upon our hearts. God writes his word upon our hearts. The scripture is found in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verses 19 and 20. And here's what that scripture says. Well, he says it in verses 7 and 8, and I'll read those again. Verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 40 says, "Then I said, look, I have come, as is written about me in the scriptures." Can I borrow your glasses for a minute? "I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart." What does God do with us? He invests and writes his word on our hearts. He gives us a heart that he can work with. And that's what Ezekiel talks about. In order for him to make his investment in you and me, he has to change our heart so we can be receptive to what he is applying to us. Again, Ezekiel 11, 19 and 20. "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." God investing in us. He takes himself. And he says, "I want to remove the heart of stone." Stone can be worked with, but it's a very difficult thing. And God says, "I want to give them a heart of flesh. I want to give them a heart that I can work with. I want to invest in them." And then in our lives, as Psalm 40 has said, he has given us his word. He's given us his word that we can know him and know him more deeply. I love that scripture in Ezekiel 11. I've been wanting to talk about that scripture for a long time, and I figured this was as good a chance as any, right? Stick it in this one. No, but it's very, very true. That his word, he writes upon our hearts. Secondly, God writes his instruction on our hearts. He writes his instruction on our hearts. How many people have Bibles with them today? Or get the Bible in front of you. Bible in front of you. Take a second. Turn to Psalm 119. If you open your Bible halfway through, you might end up right on Psalm 119. Okay? We're going to do a little exercise here today. Bet you didn't realize you'd be going to church and be doing exercises at 8:45 in the morning, 9:12. The coffee's barely kicking in. Psalm 119 has how many verses? Somebody tell me. 176. 176 verses. Longest chapter in the Bible. You know that, right? Somebody give me a number between 1 and 176. Any number. This isn't a magic thing, by the way. So, what, 100? Go to verse 100 of Psalm 119. Now, I'm reading from the Living Translation, but here's what verse 100 says. "I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments." Another one. One. Oh, I got to go back here. Hang on a sec. My thumb is hurting today. All right, Psalm 119, verse 1. "Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord." Another one. Any verse. I'll spin it. Huh? Two. Oh, Carla. All right. "Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with their hearts." One more. 32? Is that what you said? 32. "I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding." All right. What's the point? Is anybody seeing a thread coming through here? Anybody seeing any words popping up that seem to repeat themselves? In every verse in Psalm 119, there is the word instruction or command or laws. Every verse. And they all kind of say the same thing. Like verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, every one of those verses has one of those words. Commandments, laws, instructions, whatever it might be. A variation of that word for laws. It's important because God just doesn't externally say to you, okay, here's how I want you to live, and you better live this way or you're going to get a 2x4 across the face. You know, it doesn't, again, doesn't hurt so much here or here. It's more like here. you don't know that reference, do you? One of my favorite movies, Tommy Boy. Anyway. God doesn't give us some kind of external rule and slaps us around whenever we don't do it. He writes his instructions on our heart. We all have a conscience, don't we? And that's exactly what that is. God has placed his spirit in us and placed his instruction upon our heart. So we know when we're not doing something we shouldn't do. No, not doing something we should do. Or we're doing something we shouldn't do. How's that? That covers everything, don't it? Yeah, am I right? It's because he has written. He has, as Ezekiel has said, he has replaced the heart of stone. Because if we had a heart of stone, then he could just write the laws. Okay, here's the laws. Read the stone. It's what he tried to do with Moses, right? And the people didn't listen to them. He wrote those laws on the stone pads there with his finger. Moses brought them down and he said, okay, here's the laws. And I always love those pictures in the Old Testament, you know, of Moses standing there with the laws. So he could have done that. I mean, really, God could have done that. But you and I know that it's a whole different ballgame now because God has replaced the heart of stone with his own flesh and he has written the instructions of how we are to live our lives on our hearts. So we know when we mess up. At least I do. That's because he has written his laws, his instructions, his commandments, whatever those words are that are in all those verses in Psalm 119, he has written them upon our heart. I have hidden your word and your laws in my heart that I might not sin against you. Very important truth for us to know. And he does that by depositing his spirit within our lives. He does that by giving us his very self. And third, he deposits his spirit within us. He deposits his spirit within us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 21 and 22. See if I can read this better than back there. Maybe I turn around, it's real big up here. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm in Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment. The first installment, that actual word in the Greek, I wanted to double check that and make sure. That actual word does mean deposit. So he has given his Holy Spirit as a deposit or a first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. Paul is kind of obsessed with the idea of that. And if you read Paul in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. You'll find that there are repeated scriptures where Paul talks about God depositing himself in us, but that the very fullness of God himself is given to us and lives within us. So it's not just, I say this all the time, and if you're redundant, you can turn off the switch or something if I'm redundant. But understand, I want you to understand that very important fact, that God deposits all of who he is in us, all of himself in us. He doesn't say, some people are worth more of an investment than another. Tom might get 20% of God, while Adam might get 10%, because Tom's a better investment. That is actually quite funny. I don't know. But, he doesn't. He doesn't do that. God doesn't say, of course I'm going to deposit myself in the pastor because he's just so much better than everybody else, right? I get a better return off of that investment. I'm joking. Of course, aren't you? But see, he doesn't do that. No. No matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, some of us are wonderful followers of the Lord, and some of us just have a little bit more difficult time. Things of the world kind of creep into our lives, and they take over for us, and we have a hard time maintaining. But that doesn't mean there's less of God in you. He has invested himself completely in you and in me, and he has poured out his Spirit upon us. It is God's direct deposit system. God pouring himself into each one of us. That's what it's about. It's that simple. It's that easy. And the scriptures just bring that out so clearly. So clearly. And I'm always thankful to God for that. Let's pray. Lord, we are pretty amazed at the fact that you would give yourself to us in this way. Because I'll tell you one thing, the guy standing up here isn't worth the investment. I'm aware of that every day. Man, I wish it was better. If I think we all do, Lord. We all wish that somehow we could live closer to you and somehow, in our own eyes anyway, be more worth the investment of what you've given to us. But Lord, you don't see it that way at all. Not at all. You replace our heart of stone with a heart of flesh and then write your word upon our heart. You write your instruction upon our heart. You give us, Lord, everything that we need, and then you deposit your Holy Spirit within us, that we can know you in an intimate and personal way. We're grateful, Lord, that there's not a bunch of external rules out there somewhere that we have to follow, but an internal placing of your Holy Spirit that guides us and instructs us and leads us on this Christian journey. Help us to walk, Lord, closer to you so that becomes easier and easier as the days go by. We love you. We thank you for everything you've done. We pray these things in the name of Christ our Savior. All the people of God said, Amen.